as we go into the Word. So I invite you to stand out of reverence for the Lord's Word, and we'll read from Luke chapter 5. We're reading from verses 12 through 13. Verses 12 through 16, let's begin together. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and he prayed. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated, and I'll ask Brother Mike Windsor to come and pray over the word this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant, Pastor Tom. We thank you that he's been diligent all week, seeking your face, preparing this message, Lord. We ask that you would satisfy him with the fruit from his labor, Lord, and that we would not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, that you would touch us in such a way that we would be forever changed from this moment on, Lord. We pray that you would continue that change. As your word says, be being saved. Be being filled with your spirit. So, Lord, we ask that you go before us and that you clear our minds and you allow your spirit to work as only he can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Luke chapter 5. As we continue in our series in Luke, and also in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with the service and with the PowerPoint. So I invite you to do that. As we get into the message this morning, I want to begin by just sharing a story. And many of you know that I was involved with construction for many years. Sometimes while I was working in the ministry, I had to be bivocational, and I worked in construction. And in Wilmington, North Carolina, I worked at one point for a construction company called SDI Construction. And SDI Construction specialized in renovating and restoring older historical buildings. So we got told that there was going to be a special particular job come up. It was a very old home. It was probably 100 years old at least. And we were told that we were going to be put on that job. And one of the first things we had to do is we had to tear out everything in the building down to the framing. So we were brought down to the building, and it was old and dilapidated and nasty. And we started tearing out. Little did we know, as we're tearing out the old plaster, horsehair plaster ceilings up in the second floor of the building, as we're pulling down the plaster, there's just tons of pigeon droppings coming down on us. And all kinds of rat and mouse feces. And all kinds of dirt collected over 100 years. And all kinds of nasty dead things coming out of this. And this stuff's falling all down around us. We have some masks on, but it's not a whole lot of protection. And we did have some hard hats on, but after a few minutes, man, you just felt absolutely disgusting. Just absolutely filthy. And, you felt unclean. You didn't want to be around anybody, and nobody wanted to be around you. And thankfully, they had some running water, and so we kept a big 5-gallon bucket outside. And so every once in a while, you go out there, you know, and you just take that water and slosh it all over yourself, try to clean yourself up a little bit and, you know, put a fresh mask on, put the hard hat back on, and back you went. We had to do this for several days until we got it all torn out. I'm telling you, it was one of the nastiest jobs I ever had. Felt unclean. I didn't want to be near anybody, and nobody wanted to be near me. Well, this is the way that this fella in Luke chapter 5 felt. This man who had leprosy. This is the way that it was with him. Not only did he just have leprosy, the word tells us that he was covered, his body was covered with leprosy. Now, as we look at this, we're going to have to understand something about leprosy, and I don't mean to disgust you, but we have to understand what this is about. And as we look at this, what we're going to see is this, the main point, is that Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is willing and able to make us clean from all of our uncleanness, from all of our sufferings, whatever it is that we're dealing with. He is able to make us clean. He is able to make us whole, and He's willing to do it, and He will do it with a touch. He will do it with His touch. He is able and willing to deal with us, with all of our sufferings, with all of our uncleanness, whatever it is that we are dealing with in our lives. I'm so encouraged as I read this story. I'm so encouraged that Jesus is willing and able to make clean, to heal, to make whole one such as this and one such as me. As we were singing and worshiping together, and then as we went into communion, I was just so touched this morning that the Lord is here. And if you're here, the Lord is here in His presence, and He is here for you. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how you have failed. It doesn't matter what sins you bear. It doesn't matter what baggage. Our brother Les mentioned the suitcases that were sent down. I know they were some huge suitcases. Big ones, weren't they? And they were full of stuff like hand sanitizer and things like that. And you know, the reality is many of us come in that door and we're dragging a suitcase just as big as that, full of baggage, full of sin, full of failure. And we think that because we have that Jesus is not willing to accept us, unwilling to embrace us, unwilling for one such as I. Oh Lord, how could You ever deal with one such as me? I'm here to tell you I'm encouraged that the Lord is able to deal with one such as this and one such as me and one such as you. He is here for us. He came for us. God sent His Son for us, not to condemn us, but to save us. I'm encouraged this morning. I hope you are too. Let's break this down in the few minutes we have together. Number one, we see that Jesus does not reject even the most unclean person, but He embraces them with His touch. This man was in great brokenness. This man, as we read about this, was in great humility. Why? Because, you see, he'd been rejected by everyone around him. We're told that not only does he have leprosy, but he is covered in his body with leprosy. Covered. Now, when we read this word leprosy, the Greek word is lepra, and here's what the word literally means. Scaliness of the skin. And it actually can refer to a number of different skin ailments. But watch this. There is in the Middle East, and even in Egypt, far down as Egypt, and it exists even today, there is a virus that attacks the skin and makes it scaly. So scaly that it just is in big, huge patches all over a person's body. I remember when I was up in college, Eastern Nazarene College, and Brenda, you might remember this too, the postmaster, the one who was in the postal area, would give out the mail to us. He had this huge, all up and down his arms, and up and down his neck, and these huge patches of, it was just red, dry, raised patches. And it looked awful, looked excruciating. And just, you know, it didn't mean anything by it, but it was just almost this immediate revulsion. Like, ooh, don't touch me. Don't get near me. And this is what this man had to deal with all his life. since he'd had this. In fact, we're told that in Leviticus chapter 13 that a person who had leprosy or a skin ailment of some sort, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would determine if they were unclean, meaning that they were contagious, therefore they had to be isolated. And so a person who had leprosy in that day, they actually had to, if they're out on the street, they actually had to step aside and they had to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" as they walked down the street so that people would not go near them. Can you imagine? How would that make you feel? You're having to walk down the street, yell out, "Unclean! Don't come near me! Unclean! Stay away!" How do you think this man felt? And the leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. In fact, it still exists today, and there are still some leper colonies. In some areas of the world, some very poor countries, there are leper colonies where people, you know, because of the third world country they live in, they don't have the treatment that we have here, and they have to live in these colonies of people. They had it in that day. Somehow or another, this man comes towards Jesus. Can you imagine? You can see the people, you know, parting. The people are just parting all around him. And here this poor man comes walking up to Jesus. The people all around him know that he's unclean and he's rejected. And he comes and he falls before Jesus. Because he is so rejected, so feels so unclean. He is, within himself, probably feels absolutely worthless. Now, the other interesting thing about it is, and this is not scriptural truth, this is something that the Pharisees began to teach, that if you had this physical illness of leprosy, well, there is a corresponding spiritual sin in your life. If you had leprosy, then you got that leprosy somehow through sin. And so you are not only physically unclean, but there is a reason for it. You are spiritual, and there is sin in your life. We got that Pharisee attitude here in the church sometimes. Not in our church, I pray not. But in the church, big C, we have that attitude sometimes. You're having an issue. You're having some kind of a physical ailment. Oh, brother, there must be some kind of sin in your life. You know, we become one of Job's advisors. What did you do to have God make you do that? You know, him do that to you? What kind of sin did you commit? You know, and you know, Jesus talked about that. His disciples asked him that question. John chapter 12. They come to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, this man that was born blind, who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin?" You see their question? They're trying to make a connection as if, you know, if a person has some kind of a ailment, a physical affliction in their life, like being blind. He was born blind. You know? And first of all, just think about that question. The man is born blind. How could this man sin and receive such an affliction? It's arrogant. It's unscriptural. And Jesus says to them, neither his parents sinned, nor him. But this happened so that the glory of God may be displayed in his life. He doesn't really even answer the question, does he? He just says, look, neither his parents or he sinned, but the glory of God will be displayed in his life. And so sometimes we're asking the wrong question. Sometimes as Christians, we get things a little bit backwards. There isn't always a corresponding sin when there is sickness, when there is illness, when there is trauma, when there is a trial. Now, there may be, and that's why the Scripture says we are to seek the Lord, we are to consider if there is a sin in our life. We do know that God sometimes does chastise with illness. Oh, I can't believe God would do that. Well, it's in the Bible. He chastises sometimes. But we can't make that immediate assumption or jump to that. But the people in that day, and especially the Pharisees, they made that immediate leap. Oh, this man is unclean. He has leprosy. He must be spiritually unclean. Rejected by everyone. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we feel unclean, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we have spiritual leprosy. Sometimes we think, oh God, how could you ever accept me? How could you ever embrace me, Lord? I've done too much. I've done too many terrible things. I remember a few years ago, there was a mom and her daughter that had begun to come to church here. And we got to know them a little bit, and she was married, but her husband didn't come. And one day after the service had ended, and people were milling about, fellowshipping together, and I walked down to the lobby, and there was this gentleman leaning up against the mantle over there. And I'd never met him before. He looked new, and so I walked up to him, and I said, oh, I said, I'm Pastor Tom, and what is your name? And he told me his name, and I said, oh, are you visiting today? And he kind of chuckled. He said, oh, no. He said, I dare not walk in those doors. So I walk in those doors, he said, God's probably going to strike this building with lightning. He said, I dare not walk in those doors. And it was the husband of this wife and the daughter that had been visiting. And it's like, listen, brother, I said, if God allows me to walk in here and doesn't strike me dead and doesn't, you know, bring down lightning, he will certainly let you in because I'm a greater sinner than you. Believe me. And he said, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, well, please know the invitation is open. The Lord, this is a church for everyone. And I think there maybe was one Sunday that he did come in. But sometimes we feel that way, you know. Oh, if I come in the door of the church, boy, the building's going to fall down. You've heard people say that, haven't you? Or they use some other kind of a crazy reasoning. And the fact of the matter is, God can handle it. God has sent His Son for you and for me. Not for perfect people. Not for religious people. Oh, no. Jesus said, it is not the healthy that need a doctor. I have come for those who are sick. And the interesting thing is, most people who are sick know they're sick. There's only a few that don't. Or you know, they just won't accept it. And you see, most people know that they're sinners and they need God's forgiveness. But somehow or another, it's been portrayed to them that, you know, God won't accept you because you're not perfect. You're not good enough. And that, you know what, I really believe that grieves God's heart. It grieves my heart. Because it's just not the truth. I think, what is it your bumper sticker says, Joe? He came not to make bad people good. That's right. You see, with God, there is no good or bad because we're all bad. We're all sinners. He came to make us who are dead alive. Alive in Christ. And sometimes we feel this way. Somehow or another we feel like, you know, God's just not going to receive me. He's not going to accept me. Just like this man did. And this man just comes humbly, broken, kneels before Jesus. Can you see the picture? He just comes broken. Just absolutely at the end of himself and kneels before Jesus and cries out, oh Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. We feel that way sometimes, don't we? We kind of question, Jesus, are you willing to accept one such as me? Jesus, are you willing to forgive my sins? Oh, I failed you again, Lord. What I told you I wasn't going to do, I did it again. You ever feel like that? I do. You make those promises to God. God, I promise you, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to fail you again, God. I'm not going to do it. And the next day, what happens? You fail again. Jesus is not interested in our promises. He's not interested in our, you know, our failures or our successes. Listen, He already knows that we've failed. He already knows that we're sinners. He already knows that when we come to Him, we're not coming as good people. I was talking with someone one time and they said, I asked them, you know, if they've received Christ, if they accepted Christ. They said, oh, no. Not yet. He said, I'm really trying to get my life act together, get my life cleaned up. I said, brother, listen, you don't have to do that. Jesus will clean you up. Jesus will make you whole. Jesus said in John 6:37, if anyone comes to me, I will not turn him away. If anyone comes to me, I will not turn her away. You see, it's just the coming to Him that Jesus requires. And so as we come to Him, let me ask you a question. As you come to Jesus, what do you expect from Jesus? What do you expect from Jesus as you come to Him? This poor man, I imagine he would expect more rejection. I would expect, he probably thought, you know, Jesus is going to be like the rest of the teachers of the law, the rest of the Pharisees. He's going to probably say, "Get away from me, you unclean one. Get away from me." And he gets his last bit of courage together. And he goes broken and kneeling before Jesus. "Jesus, if you are willing, will you make me clean? You can make me clean." Number two, Jesus is willing and heals our afflictions. He heals and makes us clean and makes us whole. It's such good news. Can you say amen? Jesus is able and willing to make us clean and make us whole. That's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. That in Jesus Christ there's hope. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Jesus says, "I am willing." Oh, do you see it? I'm willing. But you see, He just doesn't say it. You see, we don't have a Savior who just gave great soliloquies and great words. No, no, no. He not only says it, but what? He does it. He touches him with His touch. The touch of the Anointed One. The touch of the Messiah. The touch of the Holy One. And He what? He heals him. The man is immediately made clean. Jesus is willing, and He makes us clean. He makes us whole. Interestingly, you are not to touch an unclean person. Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14 was very clear. You are not to touch an unclean person. And a person with leprosy, with a skin disease, was considered unclean. You were not to touch them. Why? Because if you touched them, you too became unclean. But that doesn't stop Jesus, does it? He doesn't just say to him, "I am willing." He doesn't just say to him, "Be clean." He touches him. He puts His hand on this leprous man, and He touches him. Jesus is not afraid of our mess. Aren't you glad about that? He's not afraid of the mess we've made. Oh, we think sometimes, "Oh, Jesus, I'm beyond your help. I'm beyond your reach." No, you're not. I don't think there's probably any mess that God hasn't seen. "Oh, you know, you don't know me, Pastor. I'm one in a million. God broke the mold when He made me. You should see my mess I've made. I got a line of luggage coming in the door." That's okay. Jesus can handle it. He can take care of all of our baggage, all of our mess. Amen? He heals him with a touch. He's not afraid. And Jesus is not afraid to heal and touch us. He was not afraid that he was going to be contaminated. Sometimes we think, "God, oh, God is so holy." And He is holy. Amen? He is holy. Over and over again, He said, "I, the Lord, am holy. Therefore, you are to be holy." We have a calling. But He's not afraid to deal with our reality. And that we are sinners until we come to Christ, and then we are saints who sin. He's not afraid to be contaminated, right? Because Jesus, when He was here in the flesh, what was He accused of? What was He criticized for? He hung around with prostitutes, tax collectors, thieves, drunkards. That's what Jesus was accused of. And you know what? He liked it. They thought that they were really, you know, they were putting the screws to Jesus. "Oh, he's a drunkard himself. He hangs around with drunkards, hangs around with tax collectors, hangs around people like Pastor Tom, hangs around people like you, hangs around prostitutes, thieves, tax collectors, all the ruffians of life." They thought they were really putting one in on Jesus, and He says, "Yeah, isn't it great? Isn't it awesome? I've come to heal the sick. I've not come to heal the healthy. I've come to heal the sick." What do you need Jesus to do for you? What do you need Jesus to make clean in your life? What do you need Jesus to make whole in your life? Listen, are you still with me? Say amen. He is here, and He is willing, and He is able. And He wants to touch you. He wants to touch you in a way that only He can do. You see, it's not about church. You know, we come to church and we sing and we fellowship and we pray and we celebrate the Lord's Day. And these things are good and needful and important. But this is not God Himself. No, no. He is here. The living Christ is here by His Spirit and He wants to touch you. And He will. He does. You know, every week somebody comes forward to receive a touch from the Lord. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. And you know, I've had people who have come and been at our church for a little while and say, Pastor Tom, I don't understand. Why do people come forward? What are they doing? I remember we had a friend of a daughter, and she'd never been to church before. And she sat here. And she watched people. There were people coming forward. People were weeping. And afterwards she said, Pastor Tom, I don't get it. She said, why? Why were people crying? And why were people going forward and kneeling down? I don't understand. What were they doing? I said, they were wanting a touch from Jesus. And she said, oh, okay. Do you want a touch from Jesus? Is that what you need in your life? You need a touch from Jesus? You see, this man knew he had no one else to turn to. And you see, that's where we have to get, isn't it? That's where we have to come to that place where we know, Jesus, You're the only one that can heal me. You're the only one that can forgive me. You're the only one that can make me whole. You're the only one that can deal with this mess that I've made of my life. Jesus, are You willing? I'm here to tell You He's willing. And He's able. So He touches him and He heals him. Then He tells the man, go and present yourself. Go present yourself to the priest. To certify that he is clean and that he is to be accepted back into society. He is to testify that Jesus has made me clean and he is to be accepted. Listen to me. We, the church, are to testify, confirm that when we come to him, that we are accepted. If you're coming to this church and you have accepted Christ and you've asked him to touch you, listen, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter your background, your race, your ethnicity. None of those things matter. The church is here to testify, to confirm that you are accepted in this community of believers. And when you're touched by Jesus, He makes you whole and you are one of His followers, one of His community. Sometimes we don't do a very good job at that, do we? Sometimes we have this sort of this system where, you know, well, these are the really good Christians and these are the okay Christians and these are the, you know, not so hot Christians. I got news for you. We're all not so hot. Yeah, you might deal with some of those sinful habits that you once had like I had. I've told you all about the colorful mouth that I had that Jesus had to transform and make clean when I came to Him. I've told you about the different habits that Jesus had to clean up in my life. And so I've maybe cleaned up some of those habits. But guess what? Jesus doesn't stop at the habits. He doesn't stop at the problems that you might be dealing with. He goes deeper and He starts to deal with what? Your heart. He starts dealing with your racism. He starts dealing with your prejudice. He starts dealing with your pride. He starts dealing with your arrogance. He starts dealing with that response that you have to people. Well, Pastor, I just don't tell people what I think. That's just the person I am. I just tell people what I think. And I don't care whether they like it or not. I'm going to tell them what I think. Well, guess what? It doesn't take much strength to tell people what you think. You can display your ignorance all you want. That's a joke, folks. A lot of times we who think we know it all, we're going to tell people what we think, we're just displaying our ignorance. It doesn't take much grace to do that. I can blurt it all out and lay it on you, man. I can just, blah, put it out on you. Oh, but it takes grace and mercy to hold your tongue. It takes grace and mercy to not respond in anger. It takes grace and mercy to not revile when you are reviled. And that's what the Lord calls us to. It's not easy. Not easy being a Christian. It's not easy being His follower. But that's what He calls us to. The church is not a museum for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. And we come and we get forgiven and we got made whole and we get healed up. And then He sends us out to tell others the good news of what we have received. What we have received. I think sometimes some people go out and they're not telling the message of what they have received because maybe they haven't quite yet received it. You see, I don't want to go out and tell people, oh, listen, you better repent because you're going to hell. Listen, I don't need that message for me. I do not need that. I don't want to hear that message. I want to hear that, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is available for you and you need to receive it. You need to turn away from your sin, turn away from unbelief, and receive Christ. And that grace is available to you, my brother. That grace, that same grace is available to you, my sister. That's what I want to share. Oh, I know there's a place for the law. I know that. Don't think that Pastor Tom is a soft touch. I know that. But I'm about the grace of the gospel. No one is rejected. Jesus loves to hang with us. Jesus longs to hang with you. What do you need from Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One? What touch do you need in your life today? I want to end with Matthew chapter 11. The beautiful words from Jesus. Those beautiful words that Jesus says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you here today with a heavy yoke, with a heavy burden? Jesus wants to take it off. He wants to take it off and put His yoke upon you. There is a yoke that Christ requires. He calls us to follow. He calls us to honor Him, but not in our own strength. We do it through the strength of His indwelling Spirit. That's His gift to us. What do you need from Jesus today? In a moment, we're going to pray. I feel led that I'm going to open the altar this morning. And as we pray, if you need a touch from the Lord, whatever it is, maybe you're here and you need a physical touch, maybe you have a physical affliction and you need His physical touch, He is willing. He is able. And He wants to touch you. If you feel that way, you come. You come. Let's stand as we pray. And you come. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. And thank You that He is willing and that He is able and He will touch us and He will bring healing and He'll bring wholeness, Lord. I pray for these that are coming right now. Pray for these that feel the need. They've sensed that need in their life and they want a touch from You, Lord. I thank You that You are willing and You will not turn away any who come to You. We give You praise, Lord, that You are able because You are the Holy One of God. You are God's Son, the Messiah. You are the Living One, risen from the dead. You have overcome death and hell and all the power of the enemy. And You can break anything in our lives that needs broken. So, Lord, please do Your work. Do Your work that only You can do. And Lord, we're praising You ahead of time. We're giving You glory and honor and praise, for You are worthy. Thank You, Lord, for making us clean. We praise You in Your precious and holy name. And all the people of God say, amen. Amen. If you need to come, if you haven't yet already, you come. And I'll ask if we'll go out quietly, do our fellowshipping in the lobby, so that these who have come can receive ministry from the Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.